Intuitive healer and medium Linda Drake is the author of Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. Like Esther Hicks, Linda has comforted thousands of people by offering the empowering guidance and wisdom of Abraham. Linda connects you with information to support your guidance in career, relationships, and health. Vishali has been a big fan of Linda Drake's and has come to rely on her accuracy and compassion. Linda will be appearing on You Are What You Love, the third Saturday of every month. The knowledge Linda's gained through years of communicating with Abraham offers a unique yet comforting perspective of your soul's journey through life, death, and the world beyond. For more information about Linda, to schedule a private phone session, or to purchase her book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, go to www.lindadrakebooks.com.
Vision Magazine is California's largest holistic monthly publication, offering readers inspiration and positive tools for conscious living. Featuring interviews and articles with some of today's most informative leaders in the fields of human potential, spirituality, health, technology, the arts, and the environment. Vision Magazine is progressive, insightful, and enlightening. Visit us today at visionmagazine.com and help us create a more peaceful and sustainable world. Or call 866-804-8444. That's 866-804-8444 for more information. And I say it'll be all right, be all
right. Friends don't let friends go into the light without reading Vishali's You Are What You Love, and now her new release, Wisdom Rising. Reaching enlightenment has never been more entertaining. Go to Vishali's website, www.purplev.com, and order her books. Watch her in action in the multimedia room. Read about her private sessions and enjoy the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land. Anyone who says money can't buy happiness hasn't read Vishali's books, You Are What You Love, and now Wisdom Rising. Order today from Amazon or purplev.com.
Welcome to You Are What You Love, your window into the future of spirituality. We're going to talk to you about your life and the evolution of your soul while we bring alive the essence of eternal truth. So here is your host, the author of You Are What You Love, Vishali.
And welcome to an exciting episode of You Are What You Love. And I'm Vishali, the wild child of the airwaves, the spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess. I am the Beyond Karma Queen. And when you buy my book or come hear one of my talks, you can be a Beyond Karma Queen or King, depending on your preference. And I want to encourage you to go to my website, which is purple, because I got a thing for the color purple. I only wear the color purple. Purple V. V is in very vivacious. purplev.com. And you can learn more about my book, You Are What You Love. You can learn about my new book, Wisdom Rising, which is not only a great name for a spiritual book, but I think it's also a great name for a porno star too. But that's not what influenced me. I just think it's a great name. And you can learn more about the individual consultations I give people. And you can check out The Wild Woman in Action on purplev.com. We have some exciting new features there. There's a multimedia room. You can see the woman, wild woman in all her purple blazing glory. We've got a photo gallery. We've got a very user-friendly calendar. You can go there and click on all things Vishali on the calendar, and it'll give you a month at a glance. So you can see any of the radio shows I'm doing, any book signings, any public speakings. I'm going to be in the Bay Area this month. I'm going to be at East-West Bookstores in Mountain View on Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th, strutting my wild woman thing with my tiara and my feather boa, because that's the best way to get a spiritual teaching, is with wild woman wear. Then I'm going to be in El Cerrito on Wednesday the 23rd at a Swedenborg church, the Hillside Community Church, talking about a guy I call my boyfriend. He's the 18th century Swedish mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg. And I'm going to come back to Emanuel Swedenborg because here on You Are What You Love, everything, all roads lead to Emanuel Swedenborg. That's why he's my boyfriend. And then later on in the month, the last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I am going to be at the New Living Expo in San Francisco. And I'll be doing some more teaching. I'll have a booth there. So come by and see the Wild Woman. I also want to mention, if you're out shopping at your favorite store and you happen to look over at the magazine rack and you see the LA Yoga Journal, you want to pick that up because on page 71 is a fabulous purple article on purple paper about the Purple Wild Woman. That's LA Yoga Journal. That's the April edition. So you're not going to want to miss that. So now, you are what you love. You are what you love. And you love whatever you're giving your attention to. That's not only just a great name for a book. It is, and a great name for a radio show, undoubtedly. But it's also a spiritual law. You are what you love. And you love whatever you give your attention to. And that phrase was first coined by my boyfriend, Emanuel Swedenborg, over 200 years ago. And for those of you who are listening to this and scratching your head and saying, Emanuel Swedenborg, okay, yeah, right, never heard of the guy. Let me fill you in on a guy I call my boyfriend. He was born in 1688 and he died in 1772. He was born in Stockholm, Sweden. And when he was alive, he mastered every known science in his life. And when I say he mastered every known science in his life, I don't mean, he was really smart and he did literally brainiac kind of things. I don't mean that. I mean, the guy mastered every known science in his life. He studied with Sir Isaac Newton, of the Big Fig Newton fame. He studied with Sir Edmund Halley, the astronomer that the comet is named after. He figured out what the cerebellum is for, what the pituitary gland is for. He wrote 4 volumes on the human brain with the most accurate drawings for his era. He's the one that figured out the relationship between respiration and the nervous system. But he didn't stop there. He ground his own glass and he made his own microscope, ground his own glass, made his own telescope. He was a member of Sweden's parliament, and he was also a metallurgist. And a lot of the mining safety techniques that he came up with were used well over 100 years after he created them. He came up with the first working hang glider, hangs in the Smithsonian. He came up with the first blueprint for a submarine. His government came to him and said, dude, we have a little problem. We have our Navy over here in this one port, but for strategical military purposes, we actually need the Navy way over here at this other port. The problem is there's this jagged mountain range between where the Navy is now and where we need it to be. So, dude, can you, move the entire Navy? And of course, because he's my boyfriend, he did. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for one of the largest IQs. Stanford University, little school in Northern California, Stanford University a few years ago was trying to come up with the top 10 most brilliant people who ever lived. The top 10 most brilliant people to ever draw breath on the planet ever. And my boyfriend and 2 other people tied for first place. Don't ask me who the 2 other people are. I don't care. They're not my boyfriend. So clearly, the guy's got a pretty impressive resume. I don't know how many other people are voted by Stanford to be the most brilliant person who ever lived. And Swedenborg, when he was a small child, said that he'd been able to control his breath and enter into this trance-like state of absolute supreme concentrated focus. And he did that his entire life until the age of 56. And when he was 56 and he was doing this meditative trance-like state, he said he broke through into the other realm and the veil between the physical and spiritual worlds dissolved and he could see spiritual creatures on the other side. He could see higher order beings, what you and I might call angels, and he could see lower order beings, what I'm sure on the station they call Republicans. And he started writing about the spiritual realm, mapping it out. He kind of offered a living GPS of the spiritual world, if you will. And he wrote over 35 volumes. And this doesn't even include his scientific stuff. This is just stuff he wrote on the spiritual realm. He wrote over 3.5 million words on the nature of the spiritual realm and how what we do in the physical affects where we live spiritually. And he's the one that coined this phrase, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And since I only steal from the best, I stole it from my show, and I stole it from my book, You Are What You Love. And we're going to keep coming back to that. And one of the things I want to do, being the wild woman that I am, woohoo, is I want to open up the phone lines here. And I want to invite you to call in and talk to the wild woman. So the toll-free number here is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And let me kind of give you some parameters here. What I do is I help people understand the nature of their spiritual life and understand spiritual challenges that they're going through. There's some things that I don't do. I don't read the future. I don't do predictive stuff. So I can't tell you when you're going to get laid next. Can't tell you where you put your car keys. You're just going to have to figure that out like the rest of us. But if you want to know more about your life purpose, or you want to know more about some issue that you're going through, you want to call up and you want to talk to me, 877-520-1150. And it turns out that I already got a text message here. I got an email from, well, it was a text message here. I got a message here from Ella. And Ella says that she's just a little bit sad right now. She left a guy about 2.5 hours away. And she keeps wondering if this is it or if he might want to reach out and kind of continue their relationship. And again, I want to remind you that I don't do predictive work. But let me tell you what I can do, Ella. I can remind you that you are what you love. And you love whatever you give your attention to. And it looks, when I look at your energy around this, it looks like you have a great deal of receptivity about that. All you can do is focus on what you're doing with your free will. You can't direct his free will in any shape, way, or form. All you can do is show up with and be accountable for what you're doing with your mind. And you want to continue wishing him well. And you want to continue seeing him as being invited into your life and being open into your life. But when you start worrying about this, worry is very contractive, sabotaging energy. And worrying is actually a spiritual disease. I don't know. Check that out. It's a spiritual disease. It's not like a, you know, turn your head and cough kind of disease. But it causes great limitation in your life that robs you of your true nature. Because we can't be worrying about something and still be in a spiritually healthy relationship with it. You can't be worrying about this relationship and still be putting out the energy that you love being receptive to this person, that you trust in your own ability to create a successful, happy relationship. You can't be worrying and still having a solid foundation to build on, because they're mutually exclusive. One is going to cancel out the other. So my suggestion, sweetheart, is what you be focusing on is what you're wanting from this relationship, not what you're not wanting, because you are what you love. And you love whatever you give your attention to. And what I'm suggesting is what you're wanting to love is infinite possibility with this person, is open receptivity with this person. What you're not wanting to do is bring in a lot of limitation and bad faith and a lot of nervous anxiety around it, because that's not in a conducive environment for a healthy relationship. But we are so conditioned on letting what we don't want come in and distract our attention that we forget to focus on what we're wanting. So I'm suggesting focus on what you're wanting, not focusing on what you do not want, because you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And again, I want to remind you, the K-Talk call-in number here is 877-520-1150, and you too can talk to the wild one. As a matter of fact, we've got Kathy in Los Angeles. So Kathy, my dove, welcome. How are you? Apparently, Kathy's not a woman of many words. Ah, I see. Kathy's question here is, how do I relate to my boyfriend spiritually? You know what, Kathy? People get a lot of misnomers, misunderstanding around spirituality. You know, they think that has to do with burning incense and wearing flowing robes and talking in a soft, breathy voice. It has nothing to do with spirituality. That's just a lot of BS. That's just a lot of hype. Spirituality, what spirit is it's life. That's what spirituality is. It's life. When you are relating to your boyfriend in a way that's life-affirming and enlivening, you're relating to him spiritually. I know. Check that out. So does that mean that you can have a sexual relationship and it be spiritual? Absolutely. Does that mean that you can have a relationship with him where you talk openly about your finances? Absolutely. Spirituality is at its finest is when we show up in the present moment with an open heart. When you're with your boyfriend and you're not judging him, you're not criticizing him, you're not thinking about something else, you're not projecting off into the future or reliving something from the past. When you're in the present moment and you're giving him your full undivided attention and you love that connection, you're relating to him spiritually. And it doesn't get better than that. So the only time I would suggest that you're not relating to him spiritually, Kathy, is if you're engaging in a way that your relationship becomes life-diminishing and life-destructive. That is not spirituality because there's no life there. So spirit simply means life. And I can't imagine that there's a more freer definition of spirituality than that. Oh, okay. I see that Kathy is ready to go. Apparently, Kathy's found her voice.
Wait. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, my darling. How are you?
Well, now you even help me ask my question better because I do believe I relate spiritually, but now I'm hearing you say that life is spirit and sex is life and spirit. And what confuses me is how do I know if the guy is on the same page before I have sex with him? In other words, that he's interested in a spiritual level of a relationship, notwithstanding the physical attraction, which seems to get in the way.
It can. It not always, but it can. And sometimes, Kathy, you know, it's really interesting. We'll intellectually think that we're ready. And then we get involved in the emotions of it and the dynamic of the relationship, and we reevaluate our position. So the first thing that I would do is I would talk to him. Have you asked him? Have you just sat down and had the STD talk, the spiritually transmitted disease-free talk? Have you sat down and said to him, look, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. Are you on the same page? Have you had that honest dialogue?
Yes, and he says yes, but I think he just doesn't know. I think the good guys just want to please you, so they're going to say yes.
Okay, that's fair. So that's what your gut, instinct is telling you.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we can't control him. We can't manipulate his free will. God knows if we could, certainly politics would be looking different because we'd already have manipulated, you know, that to hell and back. But we have to accept people where they are, and we have to accept what people are doing with their free will. In the same way that you want him to respect your free will and what you're doing with your free and open communication. So I think it's good to pay attention to what your gut feeling is telling you, because that's going to reveal a lot more to you than I can.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really essential at this point is, how do you feel about it? Do you feel that this is something that you're ready to move forward, that you want to move forward, that you think it's healthy to move forward? Or do you feel that you're investing more than is healthy for you?
Well, I've never understood this because I have a high sex drive and I just can't see through the hormones. I mean, intellectually, I know that, you know, you got to test a man's brakes, see if, you know, and he's responded, he put on the brakes, said, whatever you want, you just let me know when you're ready. So he's done all those gentlemanly things, but I don't know how to tell what I've got. He seems like a really nice man, but my hormones are scrambling my brain.
Okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having a good hormone bonding with somebody. You want to do it intelligently. Have you had the other STD talk, not the spiritually transmitted diseases talk, but the other talk?
Right.
And yes. So you guys are clear about that. Do you feel he's being honest with you about that?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the big question. Do you feel that if this turned out to be nothing but a hormonal explosion and a full adult consensual exchange of bodily fluids, that you would still be able to move forward in your life? Or do you feel that that would be destructive?
Oh, no, I don't think it would destroy me. It would just be disappointing. You know, you get your hopes up that something's going to click and you become vulnerable to it and you never know, right?
I'm going to go all Buddhist on you, sweetheart. Forgive
okay.
me. I know that I'm the wild woman that only wears purple, but I'm going to put on my saffron robe for a moment here and put on my bald head, and I'm going to go all Buddhist on you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Attachment to an outcome is the primary thing that creates suffering in our lives.
Right.
When you show up in the present moment with an open heart, if you're showing up to bond with this man because that's what you love doing and that's what you love valuing and that's efficient unto itself and there's no other agenda, I'd start ripping off your clothes now, darling.
Thank you. I think I was looking for permission.
But if you're that's obviously got to come from you. But if you're doing this because you're investing in an outcome and you're doing it to manipulate an agenda that you have, well, now you're the one who's not exactly being honest with him.
Well, my only agenda is to be on the same spiritual page, to value higher consciousness and the growth toward it and so on.
Make that your intention, speak that, advocate for it, communicate for it, and then show up for the best of your ability.
Thank you. That cleared it right up for me. Thank you so much for your wisdom.
Excellent, wild woman. And please come see me next time and throw your underwear on the stage.
Indeed. Thank you so much.
Rock on, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
So we've got another caller, and he's Robert, and he also is in Los Angeles. And again, I want to remind you the K-Talk call-in line here is 877-520-1150. And I am Wishali, the wild child of the airwaves, the spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess. And Robert, you're asking, do I have any recommendations for your spiritual life?
Yes.
I don't know if... Robert, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Robert,
yes,
you rascally rabbit. Thanks so much for calling in, wild man.
Thank you. Thank you, wild woman.
Don't you love
yeah,
it when you have...
I was wondering what kind of recommendations you might have for my spiritual life. I'm living with a lot of transitions now, and, you know.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is, all of life is a transition. Every moment in life, we're transitioning from one thing to another. I'm sorry, again, I'm getting all Buddhist on you. But
no, it's possible.
What I'm getting that you most need to understand about your spirituality here, Robert, and again, I'm going to draw on the wisdom of my boyfriend, my favorite mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg. And my book, You Are What You Love, is basically Emanuel Swedenborg made fun and easy because nobody had ever done that before, and I felt I was just the wild woman for the job. But this is a big spiritual principle that he drives home a lot. And this is what I'm getting that you most need to lay on your heart and on your mind and be giving your attention to. This is what you most need to see, a spiritual manna that you're going to draw strength from. And this is what I want to share with you, Robert, you rascally rabbit, is we don't have love as spiritual creatures here on the planet. You don't have love. You don't have it. I can't put a gun to your head and say, okay, Robert, here, put all your love in this bag. And then I run away screaming into the night and say, ha ha, I have twice as much love as anyone else on the planet. Nobody can take it from you because you don't have love. You are love. You don't have it. You are it. It's inseparable from your beingness. Deserving and worthy isn't an issue. You don't have to wait till your family or your coworkers or someone in your community says, look, here's a few self-worth crumbs. Take two. They're small. You don't have to wait till people tell you that you're deserving of it. Deserving and worthy isn't even an issue because you are it. And when you know that you are divine love and wisdom and absolutely nothing else, there's this whole level of self-intimacy and self-trust that starts to unfold and starts to grow rampant in your life. And what that looks like is this, Robert. You stop doubting yourself, and you stop second guessing, and you stop wondering, God, maybe I could have done that better. I should have, I could have, I would have, because this is what it boils down to. And follow me with this. I'm going to flash you, Robert, so pay attention and follow me closely. You don't have love. You are love. And as love, you don't have the power to create a learning experience you did not need. How can love, love is the most powerful force in the universe. That's why it gets the best name, it wins. How can love create a learning experience of itself it didn't need? It can't. As divine love, there's a lot of things that you can do, Robert. But create a learning experience of yourself you didn't need isn't one of them. So knowing that everything that you're doing is exactly what you need, when you need it, to reach enlightenment, because you simply don't have the power to do anything else. You don't have the power to screw it up. Because as divine love and wisdom, that's simply not something that you're capable of. So showing up and trusting that you are a force of love, creating what you need, when you need it, and letting go of the ego of the small mind telling you, you know, you could have done this better, you should have made a different choice. Forget that. If you needed to be driving a different car, living in a different city, wearing a different thong, and again, I'm guessing on the thong, you would be in order to reach enlightenment. So you can't screw it up. So take that into your heart, sweetheart. Put that on your heart. Own that. You don't have love. You are love. And that means that everything that you're doing is exactly when you need it to reach enlightenment, because you are simply not capable of anything else.
No, that's great. Thank you.
I'm telling you, sweetie, it really does it for me. Thank you so much for calling in, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Blessings to you, Robert, you wascally rabbit. Okay. And again, I'm Wishali, the wild child of the airwaves, the spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess, the Beyond Karma Queen. And I want to invite you to my website, purplev.com. You can learn about my book, You Are What You Love, and my new book, Wisdom Rising. And I'm not sure. I think we also have another caller on the line. I want to remind you all the KTL call-in talk line number here is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And if you have a question for the wild woman, call in tonight. And I believe if he's still on the line, do we still have Joseph from Los Angeles? And his question is, have I ever canceled someone with a heroin addiction? And Joseph, I don't do medical stuff. I can tell you what the psycho-spiritual issues are behind some physical challenge that you're having, but I don't do a medical diagnosis, and I don't do counseling. I'm not passing myself off as a certified counselor. I'm a spiritual teacher, and I'm here to teach to you what the purpose of created life is via the wisdom of Emanuel Swedenborg. But I can tell you that what I know about spiritual truth is that any addiction, it doesn't matter if it's heroin. For me, I used to be addicted to worry, Joseph. I used to be addicted to worry. That was my drug of choice. I would wake up in the morning and I would hit from that pipe. I would shoot that up. I would drink from that cup. I was addicted to worry. That was my God. I'd wake up in the morning and I would give homage. I would worry about everything all day long, about waiting for the other shoe to drop. It doesn't have to be a substance that you're addicted to. The bottom line, according to Emanuel Swedenborg, and I think this is beautiful and exquisite, is this. All addiction is caused by a suffering, and the suffering is created from us not knowing who and what we are. That there's no addictive state, there's no neuroses, there's no psychoses, there's no anxiety, there's no limited agitated state that could exist in a mind that knows who and what it is. And all these other symptoms, whether it's addiction or whether it's depression or whether it's neuroses or psychoses, all of those are symptoms that you don't know who and what you are. Because a spiritual creature that knows they don't have love, they are love, doesn't suffer from these other problems. It's a symptom that arises when we don't know that, when we're telling ourselves, I didn't do it right. I'm not good enough. I should have made different choices. Those are all inner dialogues from a mind that doesn't know who and what it is. So I hope that was helpful to you, sweetheart. And we've got another caller. And our caller is Susan from Los Angeles.
Hello, Wild Woman. Good to talk with you. My question is, it's a request, basically. I would like to ask you if you could talk about Swedenborg's writings, since there's so much of it, and, I don't know if I'll get to read it all and, soon, but I would like to see if you could tell us what he said about subjects like karma and past lives and just anything that you would like to speak about, because this is very intriguing, very interesting, and I would like to know more.
Let me ask you something, Susan. Had you ever heard of my boyfriend, Emanuel Swedenborg, before The Wild Woman?
Yes, I have, and I haven't had time to read him. You know, there's a lot of philosophers that I haven't really known a lot about, but I've been wanting to read them, and this is my real introduction, and you've really piqued my interest.
Oh, I'm so glad I could introduce you to the Emanuel man. And this is a very good question, and I do get asked a lot, what does Emanuel Swedenborg have to say about these Eastern concepts, about karma and past lives, reincarnation? And the first thing that I want to say is he lived in the 18th century, predominantly in Sweden.
Oh, the 18th. Okay, so Blavatsky hadn't gone yet to the East to bring back some of those writings, huh?
No. Okay. No, Freud wasn't even around, so that we didn't even have coined phrases like conscious and unconscious and subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And because that these ideas and these words, like reincarnation, didn't exist in his culture, he didn't address them because there was no word to address it. Mm-hmm. But he does in his writings talk about our spiritual development in a way that does sound very much like reincarnation. And he talks about that we have a life, and he likens it to like a tree. And he says there's a time where the seed is planted and where the tree grows, and it has a very useful, productive stage where it's fruitful, and then it has a time where it withers and it dies. But that's not the end. He said, actually, then there's another tree that comes up, and another, and another. And he says that your existence is more like a grove of trees. And there have been many scholars that have interpreted that as how one would describe past lives if you didn't have that word, reincarnation, and that whole idea did not exist in your culture, and you were just describing something that you saw spiritually. And as for karma, karma is considered an incomplete action.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have an incomplete action, because it's incomplete, it's going to be destined to be repeated again until it's complete. And I actually write a good deal about this in my book, You Are What You Love. And you'll be pleased to know, Susan, that it's actually printed in purple ink. And one of the things that I talk about is everything keeps coming back to this law. You are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to.
And Swedenborg said that, huh?
It's a direct ripoff from Swedenborg. Fortunately, it's public domain, so I'm free in saying that. But this is the idea, is that we come here to grow, mm-hmm. and to learn that we are divine love and wisdom and absolutely nothing else. We come here to grow beyond our baggage. We come here to grow beyond our stories about ourselves. We come here to grow beyond our stories that our parents have about us, that our family has about us, that the people across the street have beyond us, about us. We're here to grow into one thing, and that's to identifying and recognizing ourselves as a force of divine love. And when people ask me a lot of political questions, my usual response is, it doesn't matter what they're doing. I only recognize one power, and that's divine love and wisdom. I don't recognize the power of intimidation. I don't recognize the power of fear. I don't recognize the power of bad faith. There's only one power I recognize, and it's divine love and wisdom. And no one and no thing on this planet is going to distract me from my realization of the divine. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. But if we come here and we start recognizing in the power of intimidation, or we start recognizing the power of fear, that's an incomplete action, because nobody brought their charming spiritual butt to the planet to not realize who they are. We all came here to realize that we are divine love and wisdom and absolutely nothing else. That's the complete action that has to happen. And it keeps boiling down to, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And Swedenborg says that we come to the earth and we get this bag of protoplasm with the nervous system because this is the keep it real arena, Susan. This is where if you give your attention to something, you feel it. So if you're constantly worrying, if you're constantly in bad faith, if you're constantly criticizing, judging, seeing the worst in everything, you feel your gut get tight. You feel your shoulders get tight. You feel your jaw get tight because everything here is designed to reflect back to you constantly. What are you doing with your love? What are you doing with your love? What are you doing with your love? Is this what you really choose to do with your love? Did you come to the planet Earth to build a monument to whatever it is that you're focusing on with your love? Is that really what you want to empower with your free will? And Swedenborg is very big on free will. Hoo-hoo! I mean, this is one of the real big underpinnings of his writing, is that free will reigns on this planet. And yes, Madison Avenue can try and distract you with what they want you to look at or what they want you to buy or what they want you to think about. But the bottom line is that nobody controls your attention. You decide what you give your attention to and you decide how you feel about it, because that's the law of free will. So free will can only have value if you're absolutely free in it. And what I mean by that is free will only has value if you're free to give your attention to, I recognize only one power, and that's divine love and wisdom. And at the same time, if you're absolutely free to choose to recognize some other power. Because if it's not completely free, if you don't have free will, then it's just a joke. Mm-hmm. So you are free to give your attention to identifying with yourself as divine love, or you're free to identify with yourself as something less than, because you have to be free to do anything, to go in either direction with it, or you're not really free. Mm-hmm. Is this making sense for you, sweetheart?
Oh, sure, it's beautiful. And I also was going to ask you, did he write all these books, everything, that immense volume of wisdom, did he write that all after he broke through to the other side? And do you have a particular book that you would recommend on insights to, well, I mean, I guess it's all insights to the other side, but just curious about, whether there's anything that you would recommend, because, you know, out of all his volumes, is there anything that you might just recommend to somebody that hasn't read him before?
Absolutely critical, pristine, imperative question. I'm so glad you brought that up, Wild One. Yes, I do. And to answer the first part of your question, the 35 volumes that he wrote, that big canon of work, he wrote that after he had that spiritual breakthrough, that epiphany that I was telling you about.
Yep.
And after he had that, he completely dropped all of his scientific stuff, just dropped it like a rock.
Oh, bless him. That's great, because most of what passes for science today is pseudoscience anyway.
Exactly. And what people need to remember, in his lifetime, science was in its infancy. Mm-hmm. And it really meant that there was a hope that science would answer some bigger spiritual questions that religion had been emotionally unsatisfactory in providing people, mm-hmm. that somehow science was going to do that. So when he was coming into his own as a scientist, what he said drove him to master every known science is that he needed to know where the soul resided in the human experience. Mm. I mean, isn't that fabulous? He wasn't doing it because he wanted to sell more books or get on CNN or, you know, get some accolades by Larry King or whatever. He was doing it because he needed to know where the soul resided, mm-hmm. in the human experience. And he said that he did realize where the soul resides in the human experience. And my usual response to that is, you have to buy my book to find out.
So your book is kind of a guide to Swedenborg, right?
It is. And I don't mean that. It's just my favorite joke that you got to buy the book. This is what he says. He says that the soul, and again, like love, you don't have it. It's not a possession. I can't take it away from you. I can't hold a gun to your head and say, give me your soul, and walk around and say, I got twice as much soul as anyone else. You don't have it. You are it. Mm-hmm. And he says a soul is a sum total of your will, your free will, your love, what you're doing with your attention, your life purpose, and your service. Mm-hmm. Isn't that exquisite? It's a sum total of your will, your love, your service, and your life purpose. I just love that.
He was an extraordinary visionary, obviously.
Oh, babe, he totally rocks. With or without a body, the guy totally rocks. That's why he's my boyfriend. You know that joke about men that they, especially sailors, that they have a woman in every port? Mm-hmm. My favorite joke is, being the wild woman, I have a man in every dimension.
Well, I'm sure Swedenborg's got some admirers as well here, you know.
And yes, I'm not proprietorship around him. If somebody else wants to, you know, be his girlfriend or boyfriend, I'm happy to share. There's plenty of Swedenborg love to go around. But he said that when he had this epiphany, that all the scientific stuff was a burden. And it was like carrying around this big wagon full of rocks, and he just dropped it and walked away. Mm-hmm. But what is considered to be the classic text to start at is a book called Heaven and Hell.
Ooh, and nice subject.
H&H, isn't it? Kind of covers everything, the whole spectrum. And
I don't know of anybody that's not curious about that.
And I want to preface this because I know that heaven and hell, these words have like a lot of baggage, mm-hmm. especially if you're conjuring up images of, you know, getting your hand whacked by a nun, is that heaven, the way Swedenborg is handling it, heaven is a place or a state of being mm-hmm. that is unlimited. Mm-hmm. A place or a state of being that's unlimited. And hell is a place or a state of being that's limited. Mm. So nobody has to die to know that there's hellish existence right here on the planet Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And Swedenborg says that we experience heaven and hell here, but they're not the real heaven and hell, because the real heaven and hell are non-physical states of existence. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to bring out that definition, because when you use words like heaven and hell, and there's so much emotional charge around it, when I put out this definition, heaven is unlimited, hell is limiting, and if I didn't do deference to your emotional baggage around those words, forgive me, oh well, I'm sure you get over it, let's just move on.
No, that's beautiful.
But I think it really deserves its own time and being put out on the table. And the reason that I wrote my book, You Are What You Love, and I'm really encouraging people to go to You Are What You Love, is Swedenborg wrote only in Latin. And his work has constantly been in translation since the 18th century. Mm-hmm. But he didn't write for 21st century vernacular. He didn't write for a 21st century audience. And so there are some ideas that he has, ideas about there's something called correspondence, that everything in the physical world corresponds to something in the spiritual world.
Ooh,
there's
that's nice.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he says that everything in the spiritual, in the physical world has a spiritual correspondence, but not everything in the spiritual world has a physical correspondence, because the spiritual world's more infinite in its inventory than we are here in this three-dimensional world. And he has another concept of something called your ruling love. And there's some big primary ideas that he's going to delve into and throw the ball and start running with when you pick up any of his books, whether it's Heaven and Hell, Divine Providence, any of his books. He's just going to pick up the ball and start running with it. And for some people, they need a little bit, they need some of this work like pre-digested for them. So what I do is I take his big ideas and I distill them and I make them a present-day time vernacular, mm-hmm. so that you get an idea of what we mean by this idea. You get an idea of how to apply it in your life. So when you go read Emanuel Swedenborg's book, you don't throw it down halfway and say, well, I just don't get it. It's just too lofty for me.
So you summarize what he wrote in all those volumes, right? All that big body of work, or a lot of it?
To tell you the truth, it all boils down to this. You are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. Mm-hmm. And what are you giving your attention to right now? I mean, the first part, you are what you love. Okay, well, that's groovy. I am what I love. Well, what do I love? What are you giving your attention to? And ask yourself, as you're moving through the time continuum in your day, how much of your time are you giving your attention to things that live in a limited world?
Mm-hmm.
And how much of your time are you giving your attention to what is unlimited? Because where we go when we die, this is really, really interesting. Swedenborg says that when we die, there is a judgment day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the one that you've been taught about. He said what happens is that there's not a God sitting up there with a big beard and a whole bunch of angels with little dimples on their butts that have some kind of like a...
Boy, that's wonderful that he realized that so many centuries ago.
Isn't it? I mean, he's remarkable. And he was born the son of a Lutheran bishop, so you can imagine.
I don't think in those days they allowed such viewpoints. You know?
Well, they didn't. His writings were stamped heretical.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't, Susan, I don't feel like I'm really doing my spiritual good work until somebody labels me a heretic. So please, somebody feel free to call in and call me a heretic.
Everybody who was labeled a heretic.
Yeah, if you're doing good work, you're a heretic. And if you're not, you're just a little bit too middle of the road. But Swedenborg had these very interesting events in his life. Oh, right. Wait. Before I get into his minor miracles, let me go back to this judgment day, that there's not a God up there with a beard, little angels with little dimples on their butts that have some kind of ledger marking down all your indiscretions. It's not like that. He says, when you die, there is a judgment day, but you sit in judgment of yourself and you decide what you're comfortable with. And he said, without question, regardless of how you've lived your life, everybody is equally ushered into the highest level of heaven. He says, but we don't all stay there.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And he says, we don't leave because somebody comes up to us and says, oh, you know, I am so sorry, but like there was this terrible mistake made and you really should have been put on a bus to this other place. It's not like that. If we get there and if we're not comfortable there, we'll seek lower ground immediately to a community that reflects what we're comfortable giving our attention to. For example,
boy, that's really interesting. Go ahead.
In heaven, everybody is completely honest. There's no withholding. There's no hiding. So if you're the kind of person that moves through your day and says, well, you know, if push comes to shove, I'll just make something up, or I'll just exaggerate, or I'll just kind of bold-faced lie my way through it, you're not going to be comfortable in heaven because nobody does that. And you're going to immediately seek community where there's like-mindedness. In heaven, everybody knows that they're equally love. And everybody knows in heaven that all the other angels and all the other residents of heaven are equally love. And if you're not comfortable with that, if you're comfortable with, you know, I'm better than this group of people, or I'm better than that group of people, I'm better than this group of people that doesn't have as much money or comes from this ethnic background or didn't get an education or got an education in X instead of Y, or, you know, they wear these kind of tennis shoes instead of that kind of tennis shoes. If you are the kind of person that is very comfortable finding your value by seeing yourself as separate and superior to others, you're not going to be happy in heaven because nobody does that. Absolutely nobody does that. And converse, if you're one of these people out there that, oh, I never, you know, I can't do anything right. Everybody else out there is just like so bitching compared to me, then you're not going to be comfortable in heaven either, because that's not the reigning attitude. So Swedenborg says that a whole point here in coming to the earth is to practice living in the highest level of heaven. So when we get there, we don't leave.
Oh,
we don't evict ourselves.
Oh my God, that's so perfect, because the earth is seems to be a or the spiritual plane, the physical plane seems to be a well, some people would call it a testing ground, but others would call it, you know, a place to learn your lessons. And but there's definitely, I think there's a definitely something that we're down here to accomplish and to do and to learn. And it sounds like that's really hitting it on the nail on the head.
It doesn't get better than you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. I had a gentleman contact me the other day, and he said, you know, all this unlimited stuff, yeah, okay, yeah, that's really groovy, lady. Sure, yeah, right, but I have a business, and I have to fire people from time to time. And how do you do that in a spiritual way, or maintain some kind of connection to a spiritual truth when you're firing somebody? And it doesn't matter whether you're firing somebody or whether you're dealing with a speeding ticket that you got, or whether you just can't find a clean pair of underwear and you're going on a hot date. It all boils down to this. We're here to grow. All of us are here to grow. And each person is here to grow in a different way. Maybe the person that is getting fired is there because they're invited to grow in a way where they value themselves more, and their present job isn't allowing them to do that. Maybe the person that is firing the person is learning how to have power without apology, not keeping dysfunctional people on because they apologize for their power. We're all here to grow. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is, what the conditions, what the gift wrapping is around it. The bottom line is that we're all here to grow beyond limitation, because we don't have love, we are love. And as love, we are unlimited. And the only way to realize ourselves is to grow beyond limitation. And if there was a better, faster way to do it than finding your spiritual consciousness in a bag of protoplasm, then we would be some other place doing that some other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that was useful, sweetheart. And
oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that wisdom.
Thank you so much, Susan. And just for you, sweetie, I'm going to go ahead and tell a Swedenborg Minor Miracle. I'm going to leave on a Swedenborg Minor Miracle story because I'm that kind of girl. But before I do that, I just wanted to give a shout out to Amy in Los Angeles. She texted in and said, I just want to say hi. Hi, wild woman. Thank you, Amy. Hi, right back at you. Okay, so here is our Emanuel Swedenborg Minor Miracle. And these are stories about Swedenborg that he didn't write. I mean, he wrote 35 volumes of work. He wrote over 3.5 million words. And he didn't write about them not because he didn't have the time or the ability. He didn't write about them because he didn't think they were important. What he felt was important was for you to understand you are what you love. And you love whatever you give your attention to. But other people wrote about these minor miracles because they were absolutely blown away. And I'm going to tell you my favorite minor miracle story because I'm the wild woman and it's my show and I can. Okay, so here we go. Here's my favorite Emanuel Swedenborg story. So, as I had mentioned, he was a member of Sweden's parliament. And he's gathered in this group. And there's another member of Sweden's parliament that's there that's very jealous of Emanuel because everybody loves Emanuel. Of course, he's my boyfriend. How could you not? And this guy who was jealous of Emanuel was always looking to finagle some way to embarrass him and humiliate him. So when there was this big gathering of all the, you know, affluent she people in Sweden, this guy that wanted to embarrass Swedenborg clinks on the side of his glass or clears his throat or whoever they got attention, group's attention there in the 18th century and said, everybody, 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 I just want to say we are really, really fortunate to have Mr. Plugged In, Cosmic and Groovy here with us. That's right, the big E, Emanuel Swedenborg's here with us. Hey, Mr. Plugged In, Cosmic and Groovy. And because he's so cosmic and plugged in and groovy, and he could talk to spirits and angels, why don't we just ask him who the next person in this room is who's going to die. Now, Emanuel Swedenborg said that people would come and ask him a lot of questions. They'd ask him to contact people who had crossed over. And what he would do is he'd go into his trance-like state, and he would converse with the angels. And if they said, and this is really, really Buddhist. I mean, the guy was really Buddhist for a Christian mystic. He's really Buddhist. He would basically talk to the angels and find out if it was a benefit to all sentient beings. And if it was, he would get the information and he would tell them. And if it wasn't, if it was just mental masturbation, he would send the person on their way and say, I'm not telling you. So he went into the trance-like state and he said, our friend here, Olaf Olafsson here, tomorrow will cross over at 5:45 in the morning. So the man who wanted to embarrass Swedenborg says, well, you know, I take my morning constitutional walk right by Olaf's house, and I think I'll be there about 5:45 and check on our good friend's health. So he does. The next morning, he's walking by Olaf Olafsson's house, sees the servant come out, and he's crying. And he asks the servants what's going on, and the servant said that Olaf had just died. Man doesn't believe him. He thinks this is a whole farce to embarrass him instead of Swedenborg. So he pushes his way past the servant, pushes his way past the crying, grieving family, and he announces that he's not going to be convinced that Olaf isn't really dead unless he gets to touch the cold dead body himself. So he goes upstairs to the bedroom, and not only has Olaf left his body, but the clock next to his bed stopped at the exact moment he died, at 5:45. And if you're just making this stuff up and pulling it out of a hat, that's a pretty mean trick. But I don't call the man my boyfriend for no reason, because the spiritual wild woman wouldn't have a boyfriend that doesn't put out, and he puts out in a big way. Again, I want to remind you, darlings, that you want to visit the most beautiful purple website in all of internet land. Purple V. V is in very vivacious. V is in vixen. Visit purplev.com. You can order my book there. You can order it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I want to encourage you to go to your favorite local bookstore and order it from them and be on the lookout. my new book, which should be out sometime this summer in June or July, is called Wisdom Rising. And I mentioned it, as I mentioned earlier, it's not only the great name for a book, but if you're a porno actor, it's a great name for a porno actor. I know I've made it the day I find that turn to the Spice Channel and I see some actor named Wisdom Rising. I know I've made it. So I want to invite you to come back every Saturday between 5 and 6 Pacific Standard Time to You Are What You Love, here with the Wild Woman. You can always call into the studio. It's a toll-free number, and I'll answer whatever questions you have about what your life purpose is, what the meaning of life is, how to create a life that is unlimited and beyond suffering. They don't call me the Beyond Karma Queen for nothing. And again, I want to remind you all that if you're listening to this and you're in the Bay Area, I'm going to be in the Bay Area later on this month. I'm going to be at East West Books in Mountain View on Friday the 18th, giving a talk about my boyfriend. And then on Saturday the 19th, I'm going to be giving a talk, a workshop on dreams and dreaming, everything you want to know about dreams and dreaming, but we're too asleep to ask. Then on Wednesday the 23rd, I am going to be at the El Cerrito Swedenborg Church. It's called the Hillside Community Church. And of course, I'll be paying homage to my boyfriend yet again, because I kind of like doing that. And then the last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of April, I will be at the Big Bash in San Francisco, the New Living Expo. And you can come see me live there. I'll be wearing all my purple fabulous outfits. I'll be giving a free talk. I'll be teaching another workshop on dreaming. I'll be sitting on an anti-aging panel. Be talking about how your thoughts age you. Because again, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to, and you simply can't get away from that reality. I also want to remind you, if you're shopping and you look around and you see the LA Yoga Journal, you know you want to pick it up, because there is a purple spread in there with a purple wild woman, and it doesn't get better than that. And I also want to remind you, if there's a question that you want me to address, you're always welcome to email me. You can email me at V is in vivacious, V@purplev.com. I know my name, Washali, sounds like it's a W, but it's actually spelled with a V. And it's a Sanskrit name. A spiritual teacher gave it to me. It's Sanskrit for one who is spiritually wild and uncontrollable and STD-free, spiritually transmitted disease-free. I never get tired of that joke. Anyway, my darlings, please come back and visit me next Saturday and every Saturday after that. If I'm not here live in the studio, I'll have a show where I've got a pre-recorded interview with a fascinating guest, because we only do fascinating guests here. And again, I want you to know that you're officially invited from the Wild Woman. And purplev.com, You Are What You Love, Wisdom Rising, you're always welcome to email me, v@purplev.com. Remember, my darlings, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So love and choose wisely. And until we do it again next week, all I can say is rock on, babies.
You've been listening to You Are What You Love with author Washali. To order Washali's book, You Are What You Love, or to schedule a private self-emergent session with Washali, visit youarewhatyoulove.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So love wisely.
Intuitive healer and medium Linda Drake is the author of Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. Like Esther Hicks, Linda has comforted thousands of people by offering the empowering guidance and wisdom of Abraham. Linda connects you with information to support your guidance in career, relationships, and health. Vishali has been a big fan of Linda Drake's and has come to rely on her accuracy and compassion. Linda will be appearing on You Are What You Love, the third Saturday of every month. The knowledge Linda's gained through years of communicating with Abraham offers a unique yet comforting perspective of your soul's journey through life, death, and the world beyond. For more information about Linda, to schedule a private phone session, or to purchase her book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, go to www.lindadrakebooks.com.
Vision Magazine is California's largest holistic monthly publication, offering readers inspiration and positive tools for conscious living. Featuring interviews and articles with some of today's most informative leaders in the fields of human potential, spirituality, health, technology, the arts, and the environment. Vision Magazine is progressive, insightful, and enlightening. Visit us today at visionmagazine.com and help us create a more peaceful and sustainable world. Or call 866-804-8444. That's 866-804-8444 for more information.
And I say it'll be right.